Hey, podcast listeners, it's Michael Shelley here. Can you hear my clothes washer and dryer in the background? I'm recording this one in my basement. Today's chat is with Dale Irby, and there's not much to say by way of introduction because we cover it all during the chat, so I don't want to be redundant and waste your time. I will tell you happy New Year to you. I hope your next year is better than your this year was, even if your this year was great, but mine was. What a crazy world we live in. It's crazy. Let's hope it's less crazy this year, especially in New York. Things are nuts. Dale Irby, interesting guy, a breath of fresh air for me after talking to musicians so often. Take a look at WFMU.org/Michael for the list of upcoming guests. I will talk to you soon. Here is Dale Irby.
We out in West Texas. Yeah, we out in West Texas. Yeah, we out in West Texas. That's way out in West Texas.
So, Dale Irby, welcome to WFMU. These pictures of you have really moved people in a way. You know, I think people find it moving. Tell me, how did it start? Was it a mistake to begin with?
The first year, obviously, no. The announcement came over the speaker, wear something nice. It's picture day, and I was a first-year teacher. Stopped at a local mall that doesn't even exist anymore and bought a shirt and a vest and had a picture taken, sent the pictures to my parents. They were living in New Orleans at the time and didn't think anything of it. Next year, they made the same announcement. And I didn't even know where the pictures were. And I didn't realize what had happened until I got the second set back and how embarrassing. I wore the same shirt and vest. And by then I was engaged to my wife, Kathy. And she said the next year, the third year, she said, on a dare, she said, well, I'm just going to do it again. You know, the shirt's still there, and it was still kind of stylish. It was in the mid-70s by then. And it kind of got organic after that. Just kind of, you know, just kind of tumbled in. And, you know, 5 years, we thought at 10 we'd stop, and I didn't. And so, you know, 40 years later, it's obviously out of style, and it's got some holes in it, and I could kind of squeeze into it.
The idea that your wife would encourage you to do this, I get the idea that you, I mean, maybe it's my imagination, but you two have a wonderful relationship together. I mean, what kind of a wife would suggest this besides someone with a sense of humor, someone who was fun?
Well, she was also a first-year teacher. We were in an elementary school, and then she had to move after we got engaged and married. They had nepotism laws that didn't allow us to work in the same building, so she moved to another school. But, you know, it was like, yeah, we might as well just do this. And because not realizing that it would keep going. But like I said, after several years, 5 years or 10 years or so, it's like, why stop? I'll stop when it falls apart. And those last year, decades, I was not wearing the shirt at all, except on picture day. I would actually take it on the hanger to school, tell a photographer, are you ready, and go in my office in the gymnasium, kind of looked like Superman, I guess, and put that on, get the picture, and take it back off. So, and then put it back in the closet.
Are you going to send it to the Smithsonian Institution?
In one of the interviews, I said, I don't even think the Smithsonian would want it, but they have so much stuff, maybe they would, but it's in the back of the closet right now. It's just there. There's no need to wear it again. It's not stylish at all. Although, you know, wide lapels, I've come back in some clothing.
I think when you're a teacher, the passing of time is different than other professions because you have such a distinct year and a class and a graduation sort of every single year. And I think you're very, since I've had kids, I'm more aware sort of time because of school years. And but with these pictures, you really see time just moving, you know, in a very interesting way. It's almost like a conceptual art piece or something. Was it meant at all like that?
No, but then the photographers, you know, it always was free. I never paid for any of those, and they just always set you on a little stool and have, you know, they pose you where the glare from the glasses. Now, if you look close, the glasses I wore on my last year kind of look like the first, so I really knew in my 40th year that I was this was probably going to be the last year. And I was up for a prescription. Some of the wireframes I wore for several years. And always had a couple of pair around, but those are really, what you see were my work glasses. But then I bought those, and my wife said, now those look like the ones from your first year. And I really would have liked to have shaved my mustache, because if you look at the first year, there was no mustache because I was working in a student teaching in a school district that didn't allow facial hair. It was that far back. And so after that, I just grew the mustache, and it's been a part. My children are grown and out of the house, and they've never seen me without. They've always seen me with a mustache.
When I looked at this stuff, I assumed that you were a great teacher, that you brought this same sort of, you know, love of life, you know, a little bit of humor to everything. Is that true?
I had a lot of fun with the kids in the gymnasium, in the class. You know, it's they never would call me coach, because a coach is someone that has to win sometimes at all costs. You've seen there's a lot of good coaches out there, but it was always Mr. Irby. And we played games because I had to let the kids, I had to be with the ones that didn't win, you know, and we always wanted to play sometimes games without keeping score. And, of course, some children want to be more competitive than others, and some cannot be as competitive. And then I had some special needs children, and we had to make modifications for them. But it always kept hanging around young children from kindergarten to sixth grade made me feel young. And you kind of feel that way until you come home and look in the mirror and go, no, you're not young anymore.
Not all the teachers are going to teach for 40 years. That's a commitment to education that I don't think a lot of teachers make.
Over those years, I saw a lot of young teachers come and go. And like my daughter, she was a teacher in Richardson. Well, she's staying home right now raising children. She'll probably go back. And we saw I saw a lot of elementary, you know, ladies, young girls coming out of college. They'd meet someone, get married, and then, you know, maybe their husband would, there was a position where they could, you know, raise a family, wouldn't have to work. And in elementary, there's not that many men. There was an art teacher in my school, Brian, and then there was another classroom teacher. But it's mostly the ladies, and there were some my age, close to, but, you know, I enjoyed it, and I worked at a YMCA when I was in college at a, like a day camp, so I kind of guess that thought that was my calling to. I never really wanted to coach, but I always had to be in the gym showing kids how to play a game. And some games we just made up.
So now that you're retired, your wife is retired as well. So what are you doing now?
Well, I still take care of my parents. I cook maybe three or four meals a week for them. We have now four grandchildren. My daughter has a son and daughter, and then my son has two boys. So, and that's all been in 4 years. So, like, tonight, we're actually going to see all four of them today, taking dinner over to the, Wesley's only 3 weeks old. We're going to take that over to my daughter, and we've got some Christmas outfits we're taking over to my son. I've taken some cooking classes, and then we do a volunteer once a week called Meals on Wheels, where we have, like, 16 clients that we take lunch to.
So, do you miss being in the gym with the kids?
I do. I don't miss getting up at 4:50. And that was the time. We'd get up around 8 o'clock here and either go for a walk or my second major was English, so I did a lot of reading when I was in college. And, you know, with raising kids, other than periodicals, I got away from it. And now I'm back into reading, you know, big books.
So would I be right to think that you are an unusual guy, a special guy, because of based on this yearbook project?
I don't. Yeah. Well, you know, I never saw it as a project until like the first decade. And I thought, you know, let's just keep this up and just see how it goes. But I never thought it would come to like an interview talking to someone like you or Scott Simon about, you know, 4 or 5 months ago. And matter of fact, this morning, someone from the Tide Downey Corporation wanted to send me. They wanted to know what I watched. Really, it was this morning, and they're going to send me other products. And I said, what's the obligation? He said, it's not. We just saw that thing on BuzzFeed or Huffington Post. I mean, there were some negative, you know, people. There were some people that wrote in those first times and said, oh, that's Photoshop. And I thought, the word Photoshop back in the 70s didn't exist unless you were going into a place to buy a camera. You know, I knew it wasn't. And then, so, but it's been an unusual ride. And one photographer that came in to take pictures for the newspaper, he said, this is a good story. It goes at the same speed as a bad story, someone that does something that's inappropriate. He said, just enjoy the ride because it's going to get to the beach and that wave will disappear. And I thought that was an interesting way of looking at it. So there's still ripples.
Yes, it seems like it's still sort of snowballing as it spreads more and more. Well, it's just there's something oddly to me, something oddly touching about it. There's just something, you know, beautiful just to watch you get old.
But Steve Blow, the first gentleman that interviewed me for the morning news, he said, when he got through, he said, "Gosh, Dale, this is your obituary. You could turn this back in." I said, "Well, thanks, Steve. I hope we don't run it for a long, long time."
Like I said, it's something just beautiful. There's something about it I absolutely love. Dale Irby, I don't want to keep you too long because you're retired now. Go and have some fun.
Well, my afternoon reading's coming up here. I'm reading a book from a Texas author, and so it's nice. I felt like I have, you know, after 40 years of driving the bus and getting up early, that I would, it's, you know, but I do keep moving. I don't want to sit still. So I thank you for your interest.
I thank you for doing it. It's lovely. Thank you so much.
All right.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Amarillo, San Antonio, any old place, I just call it my home. I gotta go.
Gotta go.
I got Texas in my soul. Dallas, Fort Worth, San Angelo, Houston, Austin, or El Paso, I gotta go.
Gotta go.
I got Texas in my soul. It's there I know my place is. You see only smiling faces, and so, partner, the rest of the world's not worth a pound of good old Texas dirt. I gotta go.
Gotta go.
I got Texas in my soul. Corpus Christi, Del Rio, west of the Pecos or old Waco, I gotta go.
Gotta go.
I got Texas in my soul. Sweetwater, Beaumont, or Wichita Falls, Port Arthur, Brown, till I hear you call, I gotta go.
Gotta go.
I got Texas in my soul. Where the tumbleweeds are growing, I know it's there that I am going to stay. I've been a Texan since my birth, no place like it on this earth. I gotta go,
gotta go.
I got Texas in my soul. I've been a Texan since my birth, no place like it on this earth. I gotta go,
gotta go.
I got Texas in my soul.